morning, as we spend time together in God's Word, you're encouraged to keep your worship bulletin handy as always. And if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. If you're in need of something to write with this morning, I encourage you to raise your hand, and one of our ushers will be glad to get something to you this morning. So this morning, we're continuing with our sermon series entitled, Who is Jesus? And if you were with us a couple weeks ago, we started this with a video that was basically a word-on-the-street approach, where a reporter went around and asked a number of people, and they gave their answers to the questions of who is Jesus. And maybe some of those answers surprised you, and maybe they didn't. And maybe, just maybe, those were some of the answers that you've heard as for the word on the street here in Fort Wayne. Well, this morning, just as the weeks before, we're going to let God's word answer that question for us of who is Jesus. We're going to unpack that a little bit more this morning. But first, I wanted to ask you this question. Have you ever lost your way? Has it ever happened to you? Now, don't point fingers. Don't look at your spouse. Don't look at your dad or your mom or your son or your daughter or your grandpa or grandma. But I'm curious, have you ever lost your way? I realize that that question can hold a lot of different meaning depending upon who's on the receiving end of it. But let me give you a quick example. So back in 2004, as I was wrapping up my undergrad experience at the University of Nebraska, please hold your booze. I know I'm in Big Ten country, but go Big Red, right? So back in 2004, I had the opportunity to take an internship in Portland, Oregon. And I know some of you have been here before, and I know some of us have talked about that already. But nestled in the heart of Portland, Oregon, is this natural park that they've done a great job, a bang-up job of preserving, so that it wasn't developed like so much of the surrounding community. And the title of that park is on the screens in front of you today. It's called Tryon Creek State Park. And part of my job for 3 months was to walk through the woods and hopefully come back out at the end of the day to lead people into the woods and hopefully lead people out at the end of the day, which is a great experience. But here's what you need to know. When you go into a place like this, it is really easy to lose your way. And if some of you have been on one of those hiking excursions, whether by yourself or through a group experience, you know full well that you have to pay attention to the map, the route, and the signs. Otherwise, you do what? You lose your way, right? So sending me out as the new green intern, our director of the park gave me some really clear, explicit directions. And she really helped me out by pointing me to signs like this. That said, for example, this way to Middle Creek Hiking Trail, this way to Beaver Bridge, this way to West Horse Loop. Now, if you're not careful to follow the directions, guess what happens? You lose your way. So I thought I had the directions down. I should have written them down, but I did the whole verbal, you know, yes, got it, good. Anybody done that song and dance before? Yeah? Okay, one of us are honest today. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Rich. Yeah. So I took a couple turns, and wouldn't you know, this is where I ended up. Now keep in mind, this is in the heart of Portland, Oregon, which is a very large metropolitan area, river city as well. But in the heart of this state park, it was dead quiet. Now some parks, and maybe in Fort Wayne, if you're really quiet for a moment and you listen, you can pick out the traffic, can't you? And most of the time, that'll bring you back to a road where people are, cars are, civilization, salvation, so on. But in the heart of this park, guess what? It is dead quiet. So quiet, you can hear a leaf drop in the creek down below. You hear the squirrels. You can really hear a lot of elements of God's creation. So much for listening in to traffic. So every turn I went, guess what I ran into? And let me change the picture for you. Ready? Here we go. Yeah, more woods. More woods. It was easy to lose my way. But thinking I knew better and thinking I had a rough idea of the map as I kind of thought back in my head to kind of that big diagram and so on and the 3D, topographical map, I took another turn and guess where I ended up? Let me change the picture for you. Ready for it? Yeah. My stomach dropped to the heels of my feet. That was a very, very uncomfortable situation. And I wonder if you've had that experience in life before. Or maybe you've lost your way. Maybe that happened for you on a road trip. Maybe that happened for you in the course of day-to-day activities. Or maybe when you hear that question this morning of have you lost your way, maybe that holds much deeper significance for you this morning. So here's what I found out. Losing your way is a really humbling experience. Would you agree with that? Yeah, especially if there's someone in the car with you that points that out, right? Right? I'm not pointing fingers today, but I'm just saying what I've heard, the word on the street is, it's a very humbling experience. But even if you're by yourself and you lose your way, it's a hard thing to feel lost. But taking that one step further, I would also say this, that so is losing your why in life. Or maybe to put another word with that is feeling as though you've lost your purpose. We're going to unpack that a little bit this morning because having had a conversation with several of us here this morning and others in our community, which I've been blessed to be referred to because of you, thank you, by the way, to be able to have those conversations, I hear this a lot. Pastor Seth, I feel like I've lost my way. I feel like I've lost my purpose. Now, you don't have to raise your hand this morning, but I wonder if that's you this morning. I wonder if you feel like you've lost your way in a relationship. I feel like maybe you've lost your way at work. Maybe you feel like you've lost your way at school. Or maybe you're coming to a big milepost in life, and now the question is, what's next? Because I had planned up until this milepost, and now, boy, the other side, it's kind of gray. Yeah, I've heard this said before, and maybe you've had too. A good pastor friend of mine, Pastor Ben Griffin, shared this with me not long ago. And maybe you've heard this, and maybe you've lived this. Maybe you're there right now. But the phrase is just this: we lose our way when we lose our why. We lose our way after we first lost our why. And we're going to take a moment to unpack that this morning a little bit, but hang with me. If you need to write that down, please. I know if you're like me, it sometimes it goes one ear and out the other, or I'm like, I got it. 5 minutes later, I don't got it. So if it helps you to write it down this morning, please do that, okay? And maybe we can join each other in helping us remember this. This morning, I'd like to give you an example of someone who didn't ever lose their way and never, ever, ever lost their why. And his name is Jesus. And his why and his mission and his purpose are really clear, and they're really personal, and it's really personal, and it's really relational. And we're going to unpack that in a little bit this morning. But real quickly, let's jump back to Luke chapter 4. We've been talking about this the last couple weeks, and we referenced this really briefly last week. And if you'd like to take some time this week to explore these passages a little bit more, to understand this, I'd really encourage you to do that. I know sometimes we'd love to go deeper in some of these topics, and sometimes we just can't, or we just don't. But we can do that in adult Bible class, and we can certainly do that throughout the week. So I'd encourage you to really dig deep with some of these. But this is what Luke shares with us about Jesus' early ministry, and especially in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Jesus goes out in the wilderness, and guess who's there with him? Satan. And for 40 days, Jesus is without food. How many of you have gone 40 days without food before? Some of us here, I'm not going to point fingers. I know who you are, and I know who I am. But sometimes 4 hours, you start to feel what's called hangry. You experienced that before? Some of you got someone in your family or maybe your class, you're a little hangry if they haven't had food. You know, the word hungry and angry, kind of translation, equation, not so pretty, right? 40 days and 40 nights. And here's what's going on. Satan is tempting Jesus, and he's weaponizing God's own word against the Son of God. But Jesus, being who he is, and knowing his why and his purpose, doesn't give in. A little bit later, Luke records this for us, and we talked about this last week with our sermon, Luke chapter 4, picking it up at verse 14. Jesus arrives in his own hometown, and how many, let's do this, by a show of hands this morning, give me a thumbs up if the people in Jesus' home crowd were happy to see him. No? Oh, I thought we loved Jesus. Give me a thumbs down if Jesus was met with some heavy opposition in his hometown. Yeah. Jesus is in the synagogue. And once again, if you're of the mindset that worship isn't important, or you know someone who has that attitude of, I don't need to be in worship to be a Christian, point them to Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 30. Because you know what Luke shares with us there? Jesus was in the synagogue, or in other words, a place of worship, as was his custom. Four pretty significant words, as was his custom. So once again, if you're wondering why worship, maybe a better question is why not worship? Jesus is in worship. He's deserving of it. He's a recipient of it. But he's with community where God's people are feeding off of God's word and they're giving God praise. Pretty awesome. But in this place, he stands up and he reads a scroll and he speaks like no other teacher. Every other teacher can only cite and quote other people. But when Jesus stands up, he stands up and he says things like, "You've heard it said, but I say to you," or "Truly I say to you." So in other words, Jesus is no longer quoting other people, but he's actually giving the word himself. And here's the cool part about that. What Jesus says, it actually comes true. And what we heard in our gospel lesson today is just this. What Jesus says, his word actually has the authority to accomplish what he says. And we see that with this person that was afflicted by a demon. Talk about brokenness of brokenness. Yet Jesus gives his command, and what happens? Authority comes with his word, and that person is released from their brokenness. A little bit later, Jesus has a little bigger discussion about God's mission of going to other places, Gentile areas or non-Jew areas. And boy, that drove people in his hometown nuts. And if you remember from last week or you're with us this morning in our adult Bible class, we heard just this. That home crowd drove Jesus to the top of a hill. And what was their goal in driving him to the top of the hill? Yeah, to push him off. I mean, think about that. You come back to your hometown and you think the reception would be good, and there off in the corner is your fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Jones, and she's ready to push you over the cliff. Mrs. Jones, hello? You see little Johnny and little Sally who used to go fishing with you. It's like, "Sally, John, I thought we had a thing. You know, we used to go fishing, now you're trying to push me off the cliff. What's going on here?" One of the things we talked about last week was just this, lukewarm Christianity. And how our beliefs quickly become our behaviors. So in other words, what I believe over here impacts what I do over here. What I say, what I think, how I act, and so on. So in other words, if I have my why secure over here, then that's a very fluid transition into how I operate throughout the week. But if I don't have my why, this gets a little gray, doesn't it? Or if I've pursued a lot of different whys throughout the week that are not Jesus Christ, my life gets pretty rocky over here, doesn't it? In our sermon series a little bit later, not today, but coming up, we're going to be talking about an area of Scripture that I know many of you love called the Beatitudes, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And at the end of that passage, Jesus caps it off by saying, "Life built on me is like this. It's like a house on a rock. And when those waves and those winds came, guess what? That house stood strong. The why was anchored tight. But the people who wanted nothing to do with Jesus, the people who picked Jesus but then picked this and did that and did this, house is like a house on sand. How's that work? Not too well." So once again, friends, just to be very clear, Jesus Christ doesn't lose his way. He never loses his why. And his why is you. Today in our gospel lesson, we heard this. And if I could put a different heading over this morning, it would be this, that Jesus Christ confronts brokenness. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ confronts brokenness. I realize that maybe some of you don't resonate with demon possession and spiritual warfare of the magnitude we saw in Scripture. But maybe you know about brokenness in other places in life. Brokenness that comes into a marriage. Brokenness that comes into a relationship with friends. Brokenness that comes into the church. Brokenness that comes into school. Brokenness that's painted all over social media and the news. Tell me today that our world is not brokenness, and I'll challenge you on it. And I think maybe some of us here this past week has have suffered some elements of brokenness. And if that's you this morning, let me share this with you. Jesus Christ never lost sight of his why. His why is you. And if Jesus Christ had to come today and to pay a debt for you, he would do it in a heartbeat. Let's continue. Jesus never loses his way, and he never loses his why. This is a big refrain in the Gospels, and we've been talking about that the last couple weeks. But let me share with you once again, and we'll start to wrap up here. Let me give you a great glimpse of Jesus Christ never losing his why, never losing sight of you and me. Luke 4:43. Would you read this with me this morning? Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." Isn't it interesting how Jesus says he must? See, I don't hear any sense of lukewarm purpose in that, do you? He's pretty clear about what he's going to do. He's pretty clear about what it's going to look like. He's pretty clear about the pain it's going to take. He's pretty clear about the dedication and the commitment. He's pretty clear about his relationship with you and his desire for you to be with him no matter what. And for him to come into those places in your life on a daily basis and address those areas of brokenness so that you have a much, much clearer where and that your why is rock solid. See, the good news of Jesus Christ is for all people. A little bit ago, we talked about at the start of our sermon how sometimes in life we tend to lose our way because we've first lost our what? Our why. Would you believe today that that happens with God's church? See, sometimes the church starts to adopt and embrace things that are not connected to the why. And let's be really clear about what the why is this morning. Jesus Christ and the growth of his kingdom and the Great Commission. Because sometimes the Great Commission becomes a great omission. In other words, we start to omit the things we're actually called to do in our baptism. And wouldn't you believe it starts off with things that are ever so subtle? For example, the ways in which the world wants you to believe that your identity is wrapped up in other things as opposed to being a baptized child of God. See, as Kara and I are thinking about our baby Cordy, stay tuned for a name, by the way. But as we're thinking about baby Cordy, and we're thinking about all the things that the world says that we need as parents, very seldom do we hear, "Give your child Jesus Christ." Model to each other first what it looks like to be Jesus, and then live that out to your son or daughter. The classes we've been taking through the local hospital, the parenting classes, the childbirthing classes, as graphic as some of those videos might be, we're thankful for what they offer, but very seldom do we catch a glimpse of "give them Jesus." About that a lot. God, what kind of parents do you want us to be for this child? God, what does it look like for us to model a Christian home? God, what does it look like for us to talk about faith like it's a real thing, like it's not a compartmentalized kind of thing, like I go do my church thing on Sunday, but then I go do other stuff throughout the week. What does it look like to live the life? What does it look like to live with purpose or understand my why, which is I'm a child of God first. See, sometimes it happens where you and I are led to believe that our identity is wrapped up in other things, or the why is something like this, like the praise of people. And maybe you've experienced that, where you got a lot of people patting you on the back at work or school, but deep down you just kind of feel sick to your stomach. Because you know through the Holy Spirit that maybe what you did, what you said, it grieved God's heart because it wasn't what he wanted for you. The world was clapping, the world's applauding. But we know, too, the world also clapped at Jesus' crucifixion. So maybe that's not a good metric for us, friends. Things like, boy, if I just had the right title, if I just had the right education, if I just had the right amount of money, if I just had the right spouse, if I just had the right looks, the right clothing, the right car, the right house, the right neighborhood, the right HOA, if I had had the right amount of followers on social media, if I did the right things at school, if I did the right after-school things, the right sports, then my life would be complete. See, so much during the week, I hear a lot of this. And if I could pull it back to what we're talking about this morning, it's we lose our way because we first lost our what? Our why. And our why is who? It's Jesus. You see, what we know about Jesus is just this. He loves you no matter what. And whatever baggage you've been carrying this week, he invites you to leave it here today. And he promises a fresh start, and not the kind of fresh start the world gives you where it says they forgive you, but they make you passively, aggressively suffer for it. Jesus is like no other. And the really cool thing about our walk as Christians, if I could frame it that way, is just this. That when you walk with Jesus, you don't lose your way. When you walk with Jesus, you have your why, because your why is not a thing or a what, it's a who. And who is it? It's Jesus. Didn't we just celebrate that at Christmas? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling where? Among us. That's with you. So if your brokenness is home, Christ is there with you. If your brokenness is at work, Christ is there with you. If your brokenness is at school, Christ is there with you. If your brokenness is in his church, Christ is there with you. See, sometimes it happens where as we lose our way throughout the week and we lose our why, that translates into a very confused church. And we start to miss our way because as a church, we've lost our why. But once again, what I hear Jesus say is just this, that he must go out where? He must go out to other people as well. Where is that for you this week? So we lose our way when we lose our why. My question for you once again this morning, you don't have to raise your hand. Does it feel like you've lost your way? Does it feel like you've lost your way in a relationship? School? Friends? Work? Have you lost sight of your why? So in other words, what would it look like for you this week to actually invite your why, our why, Jesus Christ, back into your conversation, back into your relationship, back into your thought process? What would that look like for you? Luke 24 gives us a really great glimpse of this call God is giving to us this week. Let me share this with you. Luke 24, this is post-resurrection. Jesus said to his disciples, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what was written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name." To where? All nations. Yeah, all nations, the whole world. Why? Because God has a big heart, and God invites you into his big heart, and God knows the way, and he has the why. He's got purpose for you. But I wonder if there's place for it in your life this week or in your schedules. I know we're busy people. I know, because some of us, we tried to meet for lunch and so on, and trying to reconcile these calendars isn't happening, right? But I wonder if there's place in your way this week for a different why. For Christ and his word. I wonder. Preach to his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. A little bit later, Jesus shares this with them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this is kind of like Luke Gospel part 2. We hear this. Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Church, if you're looking for your way, first look to your why. Because in Jesus Christ, you have purpose. You have a relationship that's solid, not fair weather. And you have someone who's been given every reason to leave the relationship, but here's the cool thing, stays. you're wondering what the church is being called to do today, if you're wondering what Praise Lutheran is being called to do today, it's just this: to help other people understand the way by first understanding the what, the why. And who's the why? Jesus Christ, amen? Let me close on this. Wherever this finds you today, it's time to return to the why. It doesn't matter how far away you've been. It doesn't matter how long it's taken you to maybe even get back here today. Your why and my why, Jesus Christ, is standing by and waiting. Would you invite him into your schedule this week? Would you invite him to help you redefine your way and give you purpose? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, throughout the week, we're asked to buy into a lot of different things, and maybe this past week we've bought into them hook, line, and sinker. And maybe we felt the result of that, which has been more brokenness. Father, we know in our heart, through your Holy Spirit and your word, exactly our way, and we know the why, Jesus. But because of the challenges that we've faced, because of the personal choices we've made, we've really lost sight of our why. And as a result, we've stumbled with our way. This morning, we invite you back into our relationships. We invite you back into our conversations. We invite you back into your church. And we ask, Lord, that as we go out this week, whether it's to school, or to work, or to our own house, would you clearly define the way that points others back to our why? Jesus Christ, who paid a debt we could never, ever hope to pay, and did it willingly out of love for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time our service.